This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, the Lombardi Line, of course, is brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. You can visit BetMGM.com right now or download the app. If you're in Nevada, stop by any MGM property, bring your state-issued ID, and boom, you're ready to bet within minutes. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue, 21 years or older. Again, BetMGM.com. Okay, this is the Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. The show that is sweeping VSiN is called Saturday and Sunday Bet Prep. The host is Matt Eumanns, and we're lucky enough to have him on Saturdays, live from Circa. His Saturday show, which airs, Michael Lombardi, midnight to 3 Eastern time, coincides with the Circa Invitational. By the way, that's early for Matt Eumanns, starting at midnight. But that coincides with Circa Invitational, which is the coolest contest we've had in years in Vegas, where 16 pros go at it. I bring that up because a lot of those pros, as Michael pointed out earlier, first off, good morning, Matt Eumanns. A lot of those pros are on Kansas catching 7, and they're going to be bitter because TCU at a couple of shops now laying 7.5.
Yeah, I walked into the Circa book this morning, and last night that was the most popular side in the contest, at least on the college side, was Kansas +7. I walk in here, and it's up to 7.5 this morning. So this is a heavily bet game. Nobody would have thought before the season, hey, let's look at week 6 in college football. What do you think the hottest game on the board is going to be? It's going to be TCU Kansas, right? That's not something you would expect. What's interesting
Matt,
go ahead, Michael.
Well, I was going to ask you, when you're done, where do you watch the college games? There's so many to watch. Do you stay right there at the Circa and stay in the book and watch all of them?
Not necessarily. I kind of move around. I'm a little bit superstitious, too. So if I have a lucky spot, I'll hang out there and watch the games. Sometimes I watch games here at Circa. I might watch a little bit at the Golden Gate, bounce over to the Golden Nugget, also over to the Westgate Superbook, out to Red Rock. Sometimes I like to watch games at home. I also like to watch games at home. A lot of times, Michael, I don't like to be bothered by a lot of people screaming and yelling about every play during a game, and I like to focus on what's actually happening on the field. So sometimes it's better to watch games in private as well instead of surrounded by a bunch of people going crazy, which is great because you love the atmosphere in the sports book, but if you're trying to focus on the football and also to live bet the games, sometimes that's not the best place to watch it.
Yep.
Red River. Are we getting a little out of hand with the 8? I actually 8.5 on the board as well. We saw a 9 yesterday, Texas Lane at Oklahoma there in Dallas.
Well, you've got some quarterback questions in this game that make it a really difficult one to handicap. I think Quinn Ewers is going to be back for the Longhorns. I mean, that's the report as of late last night. And then this morning you wake up and you find out Dylan Gabriel, the Oklahoma quarterback, is warming up on the field, and this number drops a little bit. This is a role reversal in this series, and that's why I don't like laying the points here. This is the first time since 2009 that Texas is favored against Oklahoma. That's kind of hard to believe if you think about the Texas program and how good it's been over the years. Well, it hadn't been very good in the past 15 years, and Oklahoma has dominated, at least in terms of being the favorite. So Texas is the favorite for the first time since 2009. And over the summer, when Chris Andrews at the South Point opened this line, he opened Oklahoma a 6-point favorite. Now we're seeing Texas, -8? So this is a huge line adjustment. It's a role reversal. I'm not going to be laying the points with the Longhorns.
Let me ask you, Matt, how good is Quinn Ewers that you've seen?
I think he's really good. I mean, he, Michael, as they say, he can spin it. You know, he looks like a future pro quarterback when you watch him. I thought if he didn't go down against Bama late in the first quarter, the Texas was going to win that game. He was really in a rhythm that day. He looked good. So he's a difference maker. But, Michael, you've been around the game long enough to know if a quarterback sits out for 4 or 5 weeks, he's not going to be the same the first time he steps in, most likely, right?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I just haven't gotten a feel for him. I'm anxious to watch him. I hope he plays today because I really want to get a feel for what he looks like because, as Patrick indicated, you know, with Arch Manning coming in, how long is this guy going to hold the job at Texas?
Well, that's the thing that surprised me about Arch Manning committing to Texas because Quinn Ewers was a 5-star. He was the most sought-after quarterback in that class. He bounced from Texas to Ohio State, back to Texas. And Arch Manning's expecting, I'm sure, that the day he steps on campus, he's going to be the starting quarterback. So Ewers has got one more year before he can enter the NFL draft, and he's going to be a high draft pick. I really have no doubt about that.
Speaking of quarterback questions, Bryce Young, AC joint, don't think he's going to play if he doesn't. A little different run-centric approach with Milroe under center.
Yeah.
Alabama, just to give you an idea, you know, in May, as you know, Matt Eumanns, South Point opened this game of the year 13.5 with Alabama laying it. The expectations have not been met by Jimbo and A&M. I got 24 on the board right now with Bama.
How nice is it to be Jimbo Fisher that you could be so bad at your job right now that people are saying, hey, is it worth $80 million to buy this guy out?
Yeah.
It's, whatever the buyout is, $50 million, whatever. Jimbo Fisher, not the offensive wizard. He's been cracked up to, you know, build up to be by a lot of people in the media. But, this major inflation in this number, it's kind of amazing when you think about it, too, that Bama is laying 24 without its starting quarterback, without Bryce Young. And Milroe's an athlete. If you watch the – Alabama-Arkansas a week ago, if you watch that game, Milroe just, I think, beat the Arkansas defense with pure athletic ability. He ripped off some big runs. The Arkansas defense looked worn down, had no shot at that point. This A&M defense is legit. The offense is not. So I think that's probably leads you to an under the total bet if you look at this. And the total was 50.5 yesterday. It dropped to 48 last night, and I think that's where the sharp money is on this game.
Yeah, I thought Milroe looked like a fast Dante Culpepper, not throwing the ball as well. I mean, but he was so big and so fast. They had a spy on him, and the spy didn't even get him down in a two-hand touch game. I mean, he just flew by him. It was remarkable. You know, the game that piques my interest today a lot is because I'm impressed with Mississippi State, what Mike Leach has done, the quarterbacks, these two running backs he has, and the physicality of the defense. What are your thoughts on Mississippi State, Arkansas, the way that line has moved from 6 up to 9, and another quarterback in question, KJ Jefferson, is he going to play?
Yeah, it sounds like KJ Jefferson's not going to play, and that's a big deal for Arkansas because, I think Cade Fortin's the backup. If you look at the Razorbacks' backups, they don't look very talented, so that's a big concern. I did like Mississippi State a lot last week against A&M. Now you're paying a much higher price here. This is 9.5. The thing about Sam Pittman and his offense is you can still run the ball and probably stay in this game. You got Raheem Sanders, who's a really good running back. I think Arkansas has got a chance to control the line of scrimmage and run the ball and stay in it. That's not enough for me to take the points, Michael, because I agree with you. I think Mississippi State's playing really well right now. This is a team I like. Kind of strange when you look back on it. I was on LSU as a home dog against Mississippi State a few weeks ago. Mike Leach got up 13-0 in that game on the road and lost 31-16. That's a pretty impressive run by LSU in that game after falling behind early, and that's not a really good LSU team. So that was kind of a mystifying performance by Mississippi State, but I would have to lean that way today. I'm not sure. Without KJ Jefferson, Arkansas probably doesn't have enough firepower to stay in it for four quarters.
Some potential news on Dylan Gabriel coming up in just a bit. Matt Eumanns, of course, joins us here on the Lombardi Line. Matt Eumanns, years ago when you arrived in Las Vegas, Dorian Thompson-Robinson arrived at UCLA. It feels like that, doesn't it?
It does feel like that.
It's been there for a very long time, but it's finally coming together for him. You know, Chip Kelly's offense, this is pretty impressive for UCLA, and you're going to take the three. It's three right now. You got 3.5 with Utah in town.
Actually, I was on with Mitch and Paul early in the week, and I took 4.5 with UCLA. That's where the number opened. I mean, I'll still recommend to play at 3.5 if you can get it there. You guys know college football. It helps a lot if you have a really experienced quarterback. And if he's not really experienced, he better be incredibly talented. And Dorian Thompson-Robinson is talented, but now he's got the experience too. He made a lot of careless mistakes, a lot of foolish turnovers early in his career. And when you bet on him, you said, man, I can't bet on this guy again. He's at the point now where you can bet on him. Last week, I thought one of the best games of his career against Washington, 315 passing yards, 53 rushing yards. He accounted for 4 touchdowns in that game. UCLA was up 40-16 going to the fourth quarter. Now, Utah's got a much better defense here. When you handicap that, that's a big factor in my handicap, but I still took the points here. Thompson Robinson has started 40 of the 48 games Chip Kelly has coached at UCLA. You think about that at the college level, that's almost unheard of. And he's a fifth-year senior. He came back for games like this. And if you look at the UCLA offense, I know for years a lot of people thought Chip Kelly's one of those wide-open passing type of coaches. That's not the case. He loves to run the ball, and he's got guys who can run it here. Zach Charbonnet, the transfer from Michigan, really talented back, 22 carries for 124 yards last week. And Thompson Robinson's a dual threat guy. Actually, Utah's got a very similar offense with Cameron Rising and Tabian Thomas. This is a great matchup today. I think it's a coin flip type of game that goes to the wire, so I took the 4.5. I would still take the 3.5.
You know, Vegas is dominated today by a lot of Catholics and a lot of Mormons. BYU, we got Notre Dame. They're all over the town. What's your thoughts on this game?
Well, I like the Irish a little bit because I think they're stronger, a little bit stronger defensively. And if you've watched BYU, the one thing you can do is run the ball against the Cougars. They're a little bit beat up at the wide receiver position, too. If BYU is fully healthy offensively, I would probably like their chances a little bit more. But I think the way this game sets up, Notre Dame is probably going to be able to run the ball and control the line of scrimmage and grind out a win. I would not lay – now, you could have laid 2.5 with Notre Dame early in the week or last week. Now it's up to 4. I would not lay 4. I would not lay anything more than 3. I think this is going to be kind of a low-scoring type of grinder that the Irish find a way to win. But be careful laying the points here.
This is big news for the rivalry as far as Red River. Matt Heumann said it as he came in, and let's go ahead and show it. Dylan Gabriel is padded up, is warming up. Whether or not he plays, that's still a question. That could be gamesmanship by Venables, who's got three other quarterbacks he named this week. But that's very interesting as you take a look. Oklahoma, Texas. Texas laying a big number. We continue with Matt Heumann next here at Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, VSiN NHL season prep guide is out. Matt won in Prague yesterday. They dropped the puck. All 32 teams previewed, best bets for player awards, rookies to watch, three things every new NHL bettor should know. So it's awesome. It's a great prep guide. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back here. Lombardi Line, Michael Lombardi, Atlantic City. Matt Heumann's Las Vegas at Circa. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Modern day broadcasting at its very best. By the way, Saturday and Sunday bet prep for VSiN pros. You can find it at VSiN.com, hosted by Matt Heumann. Let's pick up the conversation that happened during the break that I was eavesdropping on. Matt Heumann said to Michael Lombardi, "You like the Patriots this week?" And Michael, your response was?
Well, you know, like I've tried to get better at handicap or better or improve my number. Every week I do, you know, I do the Russo contest and I lay out certain amount of games that I like and I put like 7 or 8 on a side. And sometimes I just pick the wrong game. You know, I have other winners that I don't utilize. And so what I've tried to do this week, Matt, is try to eliminate games. And this is one that I felt like there was so much uncertainty, you know. Was Bailey Zappi going to play, you know, how this game was going to go. But my instincts was leaning me towards the Patriots, and I'm such a Patriots homer that I felt like I got to remove my bias from it. But I do think Belichick will slow the game down. I think they found their identity in Green Bay. They've got to be able to run the ball, not turn this thing over, and slow the game down, and I think that's what they'll do against the Lions.
Well, he basically took the words right out of my mouth there because that's kind of how I handicapped this game. And I use this. Mike Palm and I are playing along in the Friday Football Invitational. And Mike and I are both 4-0 in our best bets. I use the Patriots as my best bet this week. And, you know, I was on the Patriots last week taking the points in Green Bay. When Brian Hoyer went down, I actually liked my chances better. I thought Bailey Zappi was going to be a quarterback who had a better chance to move the Patriots offense. Now, after a week of practice, knowing he's going to be the guy, I like it even more. I think, this, like you said, the Patriots have an identity here. They're going to run the ball, and which you can run the ball against this Detroit defense. And they're going to put Bailey Zappi in situations where he can succeed, and I think kind of tailor the offense to what he can do best. Last week, he was thrown into the fire, and he did pretty well, I thought, in Green Bay. He's going to look better this week. I'm pretty sure Mac Jones is not going to go, right? I'd be really surprised if Mac Jones does make it back at this point. But what you have is, you know, if it's Dan Campbell against Bill Belichick in an arm wrestling contest, I'm going to take Campbell. But this is not arm wrestling. And I think Bill Belichick's defensive schemes and the fact the Patriots are going to run the ball is going to win this game for them. I like the Patriots -3.
I couldn't control my laughter. By the way, that's blanketed three across the board. New England laying it. The big bad Lions defense comes to town. That should be interesting. Okay. You're buying low on a Washington team, as we call them, the Commodores. Tennessee coming off that win at Indy. Tennessee's laying a point and a half, but you do have the Commanders here, Matt.
Yeah, I like the Commodores nickname better. And
yeah, it's so perfect. Yeah. I mean, Lionel Richie should do the coin toss every week. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's unbelievable. They should have Lionel Richie's face on the side of their helmets instead of the number.
Okay, I'm going to dance on the ceiling with this game and take the Commanders plus 1.5. And this is one of those games you got to hold your nose. I don't like it. I don't like taking an ugly dog like this, but it's pretty clear this week. It's become pretty clear this is a pros versus Joes type of game where the public is all over the Titans and the pros are going to be on the Commodores. And so I'm going to take the short home dog. I could not understand why anyone liked the Commodores last week against the Cowboys on the road getting 3. There was no value in that number whatsoever. But there is a little bit here. I think you could play the home dog. And what are the Titans right now? They're nothing special. And I think you're going to see Washington probably bounce back and win a very ugly game here. But when you talk about the X's and O's, there's nothing that really jumps out at you to say, yeah, I got to play Washington. This is more of one of those reading the betting market type of games where the public is on the road favorite and the sharp guys are going to be on the home dog.
You know, this is another scratch game for me. There's no way you're getting – you got a lot of guts, Matt. There's no way I'm going in this with Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera. I mean, I watched that team. Like, I'm with you last week. Last week, I was mesmerized by the fact that people were betting the Commodores last week. Like, it just blew me. I kept asking, Patrick and I kept asking, why is this line? And then I got told someone in London, this high roller in London who's sharper than Billy Walters, was playing the Commodores. Okay, I get it. I'm out. So I'm out on this one. This is the one of those where I just said, okay, I can't. Because I don't trust either team here. I don't trust either team. I give you credit for making it. I couldn't.
Well, I'll take the credit if the Commodores pull out the win. But whoever that is in London, he's not sharper than Billy Walters, especially when it comes to NFL betting, if he's playing the Commodores plus 3 at Dallas.
Yeah. That's
the
word
information.
I got here.
I do have actually inside information. That was Prince William that was laying the wood in London. And actually, BetMGM supports us. So Prince Harry, who's in Los Angeles, sign up for an account. You get 100% match bonus. And don't forget to become a VEASAN Pro. Next up, I like this Sunday night matchup. You do too. You're going to lay the 3 with the Ravens hosting the Bengals.
Yeah, I don't love it. And, we've seen the Ravens now lose 5 consecutive home games by a total of 12 points. And I think, at some point here, they're going to bounce back and win a big home game. I think they're sitting on a big performance. I always say, if you get your teeth knocked out, you're going to stop smiling. And I think that's where the Ravens are at this point, after they blew the big lead at home to the Dolphins, blew the big lead at home to the Bills. You can also kind of watch the tape, go back and watch the tape and emphasize what the Ravens did well when they built those big leads and say, this team's got a chance to be pretty good. I've not been impressed, really, as a whole, when you look at the Bengals on both sides of the ball so far, and I think they're a little bit sloppy offensively. This should be a shot for John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, and the Ravens, kind of a get-right game. So I laid the 3 here. I'd be careful laying 3.5. I don't like to lay 3.5 in any of these games, especially when 3's been out there all week.
You know, I'm a little bit with you on this one. I was back and forth. 3.5, I think I lean Bengals. 3, it's more Baltimore for me. Bateman being out worried me, but I'm agreeing with you. I think that this offense can be really explosive. Now, Lou Amoromo does a great job against the Ravens last year. Both games they scored, I think they scored 22 points. I mean, they've been outscored 82-41 in 2 games last year. Different teams, though, right? Different teams. I'm with you on Cincinnati. I don't see Cincinnati's offense. I mean, unless Chase makes an explosive play, they can't really run the ball.
No.
And I don't know if I'm taking Zach Taylor in a close game. I just can't do that.
I'll tell you what, not too many people are talking about this. I'm glad you brought it up because you watch Nathaniel Hackett, coach. He's clueless. He's not ready for the NFL. He has no idea what he's doing. Zach Taylor makes some puzzling, mind-boggling decisions on a weekly basis when it comes to game management. Nobody really talks about it. He has no idea what he's doing either.
No, he doesn't. He just calls the game like an offensive coordinator. He never calls the game like a head coach. Mm-hmm. And he lets plays just go by like it's no big deal. And the details all get eliminated. And his quarterback gets killed, but it doesn't bother him at all. Much like the other night when Frank Wright was having malpractice, you know, when he was letting this left tackle not block anybody.
Right.
Like, at some point, watch the game. Why, if Nathaniel Hackett kicks those 3 points instead of going for it on fourth down, the interception doesn't happen, and there's no chance the Colts score. There's no chance the Colts are scoring a touchdown.
All right. I agree.
A coach that gets a lot of hype for no reason has a pretty good quarterback, though. The Chargers are headed to Cleveland, Matt. You like Cleveland in this spot, catching the 2.5.
Yeah, you know, I've been pretty hot in the NFL, but this is one of these weeks that scares me a little bit because I'm playing some teams I'm not crazy about here, but sometimes you have to do that in the NFL. You got to play some ugly dogs, ugly home dogs. I'm taking the Junkyard Dogs here with the Browns and the Commodores. And the thing about the Browns, Nick Chubb and this Browns offense can move the ball on the ground. The Chargers have improved the run defense by the numbers since last season, but they're still not great stopping the run. Also, you're on the road for back-to-back weeks, and it's typical Chargers. If you watched the game last week in Houston, they almost blew a 24-point lead. I don't trust this Chargers team on the road, and I think the Browns, because of their running game, we'll find a way to get this done. Now, this line, I was surprised this line opened 3 this week. It was Browns plus 3 for the first half of the week. I made this a pick'em game, so it's kind of a play on the numbers, too.
I'm with you. I had the Browns should have been favored by 1 in this game. To me, this is all about, I think, the wrong team's favorite. And I do think it'll be a close game, but I think Brissett has played better than expected for me.
Mm-hmm.
If Stefanski takes the 3 points against Atlanta on the first drive, they win that game. I mean, now, they get Garrett back. This Charger offensive line, I don't think is playing very well because of all the injuries. I think the Browns, they haven't won at home yet this year. I think this will be a huge game for them. They've got to play better, and they can run the ball, and they can play action against the Charger defense without Bosa on the field.
Yep.
Just 20 seconds here. You'd like the Cowboys catching 5 at the Rams.
I do. If you watch the Rams on Monday night, Matthew Stafford got sacked 7 times. He targeted Cooper Kupp 18 times. He really has no other option in that offense. The Rams ran the ball for 57 yards. Dallas defense has 15 sacks, more than 60 pressures. I would prefer – actually, I prefer Cooper Rush be the quarterback and not Dak here. But I think the Cowboys should be live plus 5.5.
It is like it. Saturday and Sunday bet prep. It is much and must listen. Watch on TV, VSiN.com, and listen all over. Matt Eumanns, thank you very much. Appreciate
you. Thanks so much, Matt.
You bet.
Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Guys.
A key line move coming up next with Thomas Gable.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, unleash the spirit of Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. The king of sportsbooks. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points that you can redeem for online bonus credits, like free bets, or you can use them for dining, shows, food in Vegas, whatever you want at a BetMGM property. Again, it's betting's loyalty, a premier program. Make sure you check it out, 1-800-GAMBLER. You got to be 21 years or older. Again, BetMGM.com. Okay, we got you back here. Lombardi Line, of course, is presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher. He's Michael Lombardi, our partner who runs the race and sports book there at the Borgata. Thomas Gable joins us. And we went to break talking about a line move. First off, good morning, Thomas. Thank you. We went to break talking about a line move. And the TCU-Kansas game fascinates me because many shops open TCU 5.5. We touched 8 this morning, and now we're back 7, 7.5. This is an interesting number here.
Yeah, so we actually opened this game 6. We opened TCU laying 6. And it's currently sitting at 7 right now. So, you know, again, when we come to this game, if we had said a few months ago, what would be the game of the day? Where would game day be?
Yeah.
Nobody would have picked this. It would have been – everybody was talking about Jimbo and Nick Saban and, you know, so everybody thought it would have been Alabama, Texas A&M, but here we are with TCU and Kansas. So we actually hit 7.5 here. We touched 7.5. But right now in that game, we are seeing some Kansas money. So it's both teams undefeated here heading in this game. two of the best offenses in college football, really. TCU averaging almost 550 yards per game, and that's second in the country. Kansas is putting up almost 42 points per game. So this is just a fun game, I think, for both programs. And I saw that Kansas also made a nice commitment there, a nice investment there to the football program, a couple hundred million there.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Oh, that's probably to keep Leopold from all these other schools that are going after him. Yeah. Are you getting respected money on Kansas?
It's just very balanced action. I mean, we're a little bit more Kansas money, but but it's pretty even. The ticket count does favor TCU here a little bit, but more money on Kansas.
Okay, Thomas, so what is the story there? You mentioned if we talked about this week during the summer or spring, we would have said Bama hosting Texas A&M would be the big story with Jimbo and Nick Saban going back and forth. That number is sitting right around 24. Actually, I see a 23.5 popping up, so maybe a little Texas A&M love coming in late here?
Not here. Not here. It's all been Alabama.
It's Alabama money?
Yeah.
Do you think that Bill Berman's influence in that because he wears that Alabama shirt every day? You think that's happening?
That could be. It could just keep an Alabama top of mind to all the people that see Berman throughout town.
Exactly.
So, it's actually 24.5 here, Patrick.
Wow.
So, and it's been mostly Bama money, even though – you know, Bryce Young supposedly is a game-time decision for the Crimson Tide after suffering that shoulder sprain there in the second quarter against Arkansas. But if Young can't go, then you'll have Milroe driving the offense. But we got to see what he could do with his legs in that game. He rushed for 91 yards and a TD. And also don't forget about Gibbs at running back, who's just, you know, he went off for 206 yards there. And now the Aggies, we know they can't really get anything going on offense. And I'm not sure the defense is going to be enough to keep them in this game here. If Texas A&M goes down big early, they just do not have any sort of offense to be able to get back into this game.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to be able to keep Milroe from making that explosive play. But this guy's a dynamic athlete. I mean, you know, he's unbelievable. He's from Katy, Texas. He's kind of playing against a school that highly recruited him as well, coming out, him and Texas, along with Texas. So, you know, and I think what's happened, Matt Heumann's talked about this with Bailey Zappe, having a week of practice, Milroe having a week of practice, and Billy O'Brien having a week of how to game plan with Milroe also is different too. So, you know, I mean, Texas A&M's defense is good, but eventually I think Alabama's going to wear them down. I just don't know how Texas A&M's going to consistently move the football.
Right, right.
So, boys, I don't know about you, but that Dylan Gabriel warming up in pads is dubious to me, Michael and Thomas, just because he's dealing with a concussion.
Yeah, they wouldn't put him in pads if he had a concussion. Like, I don't – to me – just knowing the concussion protocol, if you're not – so first of all, you've got to go through stages, okay? So you've got to go through a workout without having a headache. You've got to go through a workout without having any other symptoms. You've got to have a scan and get your numbers to where they were at the beginning of the season when you were completely healthy. There's no way they're putting you in a uniform unless you've cleared all those hurdles. I don't see that. Now, I could be wrong. I don't know the protocols at Oklahoma like I do in the NFL. But I got to believe if you're putting him in that uniform, he's going to play today.
We haven't had the number adjust, Thomas, much. It's still 7.5-8 with Texas laying it. What are you at the Borgata on the Red River Showdown here?
So we're at 8, but you've seen significant line movement in this game, really, from opener through today. So Texas opened 6.5-point favorites. At one point, they were even 9.5-point favorites, 9.5. So back down to 8 here, and the money right now is certainly on Texas here. The ticket count is also on there, but where we're seeing sharper money has come in on the under in this game. So right now the total sits at 48, and 64. So that is down from the opener of 65.5.
Yeah.
So that's where we've seen the sharp money come in on the under here.
And what would you, back in the summer, where did you have this game? Because it's been a 14-point spring.
14, 13.5, somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really, to me, as what? Matty Heumann said what? I think Chrissy Andrews had this as Oklahoma favored by 8. Now it's flipped all the way around, right? Isn't that what he said?
It's a big movement. And Gabriel, I mean, listen, I'm with you. I don't know if he's out there in pads. I mean, there's a pretty good chance he's going to be on the field.
Exactly.
Hey, can I bet that over 48 on Oklahoma, Texas, please? Thank you, Thomas Gable. The Tennessee LSU game's fascinating, right? Because Tennessee's going to be fresh or rusty, however you want to look at it, Michael, coming off a bye. But Tennessee, fourth fastest team as far as tempo in the nation. LSU bounced back after the loss in week one. Where are you sitting there at Death Valley?
So Tennessee laying 3 right now with this game, even money, though, on the 3, if you're laying the 3 with Tennessee. So we have seen some LSU money here. Open this game, Tennessee laying 2.5 with a total of 64, and that's right where that total is now. The total did touch 65, so back down. And I think we've seen some improvement here week over week from LSU. You know, everybody was questioning Brian Kelly after that first game of the year against Florida State when they lost, but they aren't super explosive on offense, which certainly is a concern here today against Tennessee, who's definitely very explosive on offense, averaging 48.5 points per game. But as you mentioned, they play at that very, very quick pace that wears the defense down. And Hendon Hooker, just such a weapon there, completing 69% of his passes. So dangerous with his legs as well. And as you said, Tennessee, well-rested, having off last week. So this will be their first SEC road game of the year, though, for Tennessee. So we'll see.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, the 12 o'clock start, I think, really favors Tennessee because the crowd noise.
The crowd won't be, what it is at LSU.
Yep,
I totally agree. BYU Notre Dame there in Vegas. What do you have that number at?
So that game right now is Notre Dame laying 4. Ticket count very even. This is a very popular game on the betting board today. But the money certainly is favoring Notre Dame here. And I'm sure the town probably overrun there with a bunch of Catholics, right, Patrick?
Oh, yeah, the Catholics. Okay. I mean, that's
giving out communion everywhere.
It's a Mormon town, too.
Vegas is always a Mormon town,
It's a Civil War battle going on there. There's no denying that. Yeah. There's no question.
Temptation all over the place. Be careful, BYU and Notre Dame fans. Utah, UCLA, all of a sudden, this is interesting, Pac-12 supremacy on the line with Utah and UCLA there at the Rose Bowl. As Michael mentioned, there's going to be a lot of red there in Pasadena.
Yes, there will. Yes, there will. So Utah right now laying 3 there on the road, total 64.5. The line has come down. It's moved towards UCLA in this. We opened Utah minus 4.5. The total, though, has pretty much stayed consistent right there around 64.5. Utah is taking the majority of the ticket count. Money's pretty even, though, here between both teams. So, you know, UCLA has certainly, I think, exceeded expectations so far.
Yeah, no doubt, especially when they were behind early in the season, the South Alabama, and everybody thought they were going to get upset at that game, and they make the comeback.
Yep.
And as you said, as Matt Heumann said, Dorian, I mean, 40 starts for a college quarterback today, I mean, really, that's kind of somewhat remarkable, Patrick. I mean,
How about last week, Michael? At Washington in town, a ranked team, UCLA, they were handing out free tickets, not just to the students, to anybody walking by the Rose Bowl, and they still couldn't get people to come in. That's sad.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on in.
That's Southern California.
And we couldn't buy a bet on UCLA last week game. So
it's going to be a big day at the Borgata. Race and Sportsbook Director is Thomas Gable. Thank you, TG. Appreciate you.
Thanks, TG.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Okay, we run the board. We wait for it every week. Next, here, Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, get a $10 free bet when you sign up for FirstBet, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Use the code HORSE200 for the $10, plus you get 100% match on your first deposit up to $200. You got wagering at over 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks with the FirstBet app. It's the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. Get more details at VSiN.com/horses. That's VSiN.com/horses. Now, Michael Lombardi's hanging out there at the Borgata in Atlantic City, and if you weren't headed to the Borgata, I'll give you a more reason to go. Right now, you can watch the replay of the Broncos-Colts from Thursday Night Football if you show up at the Borgata. They're helping you out.
It's on a small screen, so it's not that big. I want to ask you, Patrick, there's a lot of buzz in here that a lot of people are playing South Carolina today against Kentucky. You know, and as a South Carolina alum, I kind of wanted to get, you know, that line opened at 10. It's down to 6. And we haven't talked about it, but that's kind of a lot of move, especially considering Kentucky's playing home.
Yeah, injury concerns for Kentucky. Mark Stoops has absolutely owned South Carolina. And South Carolina, a little momentum with Beamer Ball starting to grow a little bit, the quarterback playing a little bit better. I was shocked by this number. We're down to 5.5 at most shops. Now,
wow.
This number opened, you know, like you said, most shops had it opening 10. Circa actually opened at 10.5. So injuries being reported for Kentucky, there must be more to it because you won't see a drop where essentially a number's cut in half. I don't feel comfortable taking the 5.5. I did bet the 10 earlier this week just because I thought the number was out of whack. But now that we've lost the best of it at 5.5, those injuries must really be adding up for Kentucky. And there's something we don't know. Michael, when you see a number like 10 down to 5.5 with the home team, there's something's amiss.
Yeah, and we don't get college injury reports, so we just don't know that.
That's
so
correct.
The number really gives us an indication of something. We don't know what the something is, but it gives us – I mean, that could be a pro tip. The number movement in college gives us an idea of something. We're not sure what the something is, though. That's the hard part.
To piggyback with – I'm sorry to interrupt you, but to piggyback with your pro tip, for college football, what I like to do is I like to pour through the blogs the kids run on campus – if that makes sense, because a lot of these kids that run the blogs, they have access to practice. They talk to the student athletes. They have more information than national writers and reporters for papers at times. So oftentimes when I'm looking for injury information, I go to most schools now have a local blog run by the students, and they have better information than a lot of the big time reporters.
Yeah, and the other game that's kind of been the buzz in the book here from what I consider the sharp guys here in the book. So the Borgata has a lot of guys that come in every Saturday. I'm sure they come in every day, but I see them every Saturday and Sunday early in the morning, and I get to talk to them. The other game that seems to have piqued their interest is they're all over Iowa State against Kansas State today. Iowa State at home after they lost to Kansas, kind of mismanaged that game. And Kansas State had a really impressive win against Texas Tech, who beat Texas the week earlier. And so a lot of money coming in on Iowa State here by the sharp, by what I would call the pro players here in this book.
Really? Okay, so that number right now, Kansas State is laying 1 at Iowa State and Ames, where, as you always like to say, that grass is going to be up to your knees. They do not cut that grass.
They do not cut that grass. And if, you know, to me, again, I all these guys that I talk to here, this isn't about line movement. This is about algorithms and how they handicap the game. And a lot of them are on that. Like, I'll give you another game that they're all over is they're all over the Kent State-Miami game, 3:30 kick today on the over total. On that over total. And so, you know, I'm not great on the overs picking at college. To me, it seems like there's a lot more interest in the over totals as much as there is in the spread, right? I've after doing this for 4 years, I found that like the totals in college are stronger than the totals in college and pros. And this Miami Kent the Miami
call,
Kent
Michael.
State over total or is really this is what the buzz and this is what's good about being here at the book is you get a lot of these guys that have worked all week on their games and they're waiting for that moment to hit the window.
Yep. MAC matchup, Kent State, Miami of Ohio. As Michael mentioned, that open 55.5, it's been driven up to 56.5. You've got over 72% of the money being reported on the over in that Kent State, Miami of Ohio matchup. Okay, let's get to some of the biggies today. I'm just curious what you think. Tennessee, and we always talk about whether it's rest versus rust, coming off a bye like that, I think you nailed it as far as they're getting the right time of day there at Death Valley, not under the lights. It's going to be a sleepy atmosphere to start the game. They're laying 2.5 Tennessee at LSU.
Well, a lot of this game is going to come down to communication, right? So they go into Pittsburgh, and, you know, we know that when you go into Pitt, that even though Pitt has a fan, that stadium isn't loud. It doesn't affect an offense as quickly paced as Tennessee's offense is. Whereas as you go down to Death Valley, that's going to affect you. Now, look, Heupel's an experienced guy. He understands how to communicate. And I think that week off really allows you to work on your communication. It's not about what new plays are we going to run. It's how are we going to communicate when we're dealing in this hostile environment. And I think that they've had time to work through that, and we'll see if it works out. To me, I'm surprised this number, because I think what Matt Heumann said earlier about that, when I watched that Mississippi State LSU game, I thought Mississippi State was sloppy. They gave points away early in the game. Agreed. They went for it on fourth down. I thought they were the better team, and the score never looked like it. I thought they were the better team that gave the game away, that didn't play to the level that they needed to, especially when they were playing on the road. And that's where Tennessee has to be. You know, it's a hard place to play. Kelly manages the game really well. Kelly's going to manage this game to where he's going to try to limit how many plays Tennessee really gets.
Listen, Kelly's a great coach. You can think what you want of him personally, but think about nobody drained more out of the transfer portal. They've got a young offensive front. They've got Jaden Daniels, who you and I both don't like under center, and they're 4-1 after a loss
they
to start off
it.
The year in heartbreaking fashion.
But they understand how to manage the game. Look, they come back in that Florida State game. I mean, they fought themselves Correct. Back into that game. It came down to a 2-point play. But to me, I think that part of college football too is how to manage the game. And this is what worries you. And that line, you know, Tennessee, LSU, a dog on the road. Look, Tennessee, I think the best thing that happened to them was go to Pitt and play a close game on the road. I think they needed that. This, we're going to find out a lot about Tennessee today. We're going to find out an awful lot about Tennessee today.
Jimbo's going to get his comeuppance there, Tuscaloosa. The number's 24. Alabama is going to be, part of my language, pissed and bitter and looking for revenge here.
Yeah, I do, but can they, you know, to me is like I play the score in my head all the time on this is, you know, I could easily see Alabama winning 34-10. I could see them winning 37-10, and I could see them wearing this down. I'm a no play on this game, but with that over total at 48.5 and the line at 24, usually you see this when they're playing Akron or they're playing one of those bad teams, right? You see this line, the percentage of the point of the total versus the line is out of whack for a Southeast Conference game. I lean towards taking A&M and the points. I think to me, if I'm an A&M booster and we paid all this money for Jimbo Fisher and we're in year three and we're a 24.5 point dog on the road, I'm a little upset. I'm a little upset.
Going to change his first name from Jimbo to Ski Mask, because if he walks out of there with like $60 million for what he's done, that's unbelievable.
I mean, I got to think there's some way to get out of that contract. I know we hear this number, but look, let's face this reality here in college football. There's so much money to be made in these because of the TV contracts, because look, of all the things that are happening and that these coaches are getting fired. And in the midst, I mean, Paul Chris getting fired at Wisconsin. I mean, they weren't that bad of a team. Nebraska, you know, not waiting for the buyout. I mean, all these things are playing out because teams, you know, there's so much money at stake in college football.
Okay. Are you with the pros there in the Invitational with Kansas? Now, remember, they're getting 7. You can find a 7.5 right now, although most shops have TCU laying 7. They're at Kansas.
I think I would lean towards TCU. I think they're the more experienced. That, you know, I thought Kansas, I was against them last week. I thought they were very fortunate to come out of that game a winner. They had that call back. Remember the Iowa State scores, but they didn't. They reviewed it. It wasn't. I would lay the points, I think, here. I really would. Now, look, all the pros in the contest are doing it. They're better at college than I am. There's no doubt. I'd lean towards TCU here.
Would you lay the 3 with Utah at UCLA?
Yeah, I think I would. I think Utah's tougher than UCLA. I think if it's going to come down to a toughness matchup, I think I would definitely take Utah.
Get in the car and get home, because the games start in 5 minutes and they end midnight your time.
I know. I got to stay awake. I got so much to do here, you know. But it'll be a fun day, Patrick. And this is the best part about the fall. Let's slow it down. We're week 5, 6 already in college, week 5 in pro. We got to slow it down.
Absolutely. And guess what? We're not done. We're going to be back tomorrow morning with an NFL Sunday here on the Lombardi Line. Michael,
and
enjoy your Saturday.
Yep. Thank you, Patrick.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you everybody back in the crew. We'll see you tomorrow morning here on the Lombardi Line.